Hey, happy new year. On this episode of Tips from the Top Floor, we'll talk about goals when it comes to presenting your work in public. Tom is interested in a sharpening workflow and our little robot finally got its name. This is Tips from the Top Floor 805 for Thursday, January the 4th, 2018.
Tips from the top floor, tips from the top.
Hey, hello and welcome. This is Chris Margaret. You're listening to Tips from the Top Floor, the longest running photography show on the planet. Going into yet another year. Happy New Year, everyone. Episode 805, episode 1 in 2018, but I'm not, I'll keep counting. I'm not going to do the seasons thing. This is episode 805, and if you just listen to this show for the first time, there's no need to go back and listen to all the other 804. This is a kind of a continuous thing, and I keep numbering them. So, of course, if you're inclined, so hey, go have at it. Go and knock yourself out with 804 episodes of this podcast. I believe it's a. Did anyone do the math? It must be weeks or even months of listening to get through that. Probably gonna leave some damage as well. So don't do it. Don't do it. Start here and just don't think about the 804 before. Go on tipsfromthetopfloor.com on the website. Put something in the search box if you're interested in something. And there's a chance that an interesting show will pop out with a topic that I've already talked about. So 2018 is upon us. And it will bring me back to the United States, by the way. If you haven't heard, I will be in May. In May, I will be in New York City doing the New York City Tilt Shift Architecture and Street Photography Workshop. Yep, that's the one I will do with Canon. And they will provide gear and lenses and cameras and stuff. So you can try out all the new tilt shift lenses and things. And it's going to be wonderful. Also, I'm now looking at the possibility while I'm in the U.S. in May to maybe hop over to the West Coast and to the Bay Area and maybe do something little there, a little workshop. It's all wide open at this point. You'll find out here if something comes together. Also, before the end of the year, we had this little contest on the new podcast, The Future of Photography, the one I do with Adrian Stock. And we had the robot naming contest. The robot has been named. We have a name for the robot. It is Eevee. E-E-V-E-E. Or the letters E and V. I think the spelling, we changed it to Eevee. E-E-V-E-E. Because that was kind of cute. And of course, Eevee is a few different things in photography. It's exposure value. It's electronic viewfinder, and it was just a nice little cute non-threatening name, and that's why we chose it. So the winner is being announced over on the Future of Photography, and if you're not subscribed, hey, there's no excuse. It's a fun little show where we talk about what's coming at us, what's coming in the future of photography. All right, so 2018, any other things planned on your side? Let me know. I'm still putting together the plan. I have the workshops planned out. I have the photo tours planned out. Ireland, Morocco, Norway, Lofoten again. What else? Well, lots. Go discoverthetopfloor.com. Discoverthetopfloor.com has a list of things. Also workshops here in Germany. And film photography workshops and so on and so on. This is going to be a busy year, but hey, I like busy. Also working on yet another book project. So that one, I kind of have to fit that one in between as well. And the translation of the wide-angle book is in the making. Will take a while, but that's something to look forward to. All right, let's get to your questions. Here is Oliver.
Hi, Chris. This is Oliver from Munich. I have one question for you. I was using Flickr in the past for my, sharing photos to friends, to the peer group, and whoever is interested in pictures which I took. I shut down the service after the big problem they had with the passwords, even as my personal assumption is that Flickr is over. Yahoo is sold and it's pretty open what's the future of Flickr. So I deleted all my pictures, the account, everything. And for now, I'm just showing off my pictures on my personal webpage, which a humbling few people watch regularly, just a few. And I got some feedback on my webpage, which is fine for me. Well, thinking to the future, probably, maybe, I want to go back to the public and sharing pictures to others. What's your personal recommendation regarding web platforms to share pictures? Yes, I could use the tips from the top floor Slack and post pictures there, but this is just a peer group, which probably is the most worthful peer group I can get to get feedback on my pictures. But if I want to share it in a broader area, more people, and just share it, what would you recommend? Any advices just in addition to my webpage? Thanks for all your effort for the show, and looking forward to hear from you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Oliver. Happy New Year. Okay, let me try to summarize that. You have your photos on your personal website because you left Flickr, because you don't see a future in Flickr, and you do not get enough attention or eyeballs on your website, on the photos there, and you are looking for a new platform to put your photos on that is not Flickr. And platforms do have advantages. Definitely, they have advantages over self-hosted photo galleries. They also have disadvantages. Well, we'll talk about this in a minute. First of all, and most important, I think it's important to share photos in public. So everyone, it is important because it builds confidence. And the more confident you are to share work, the more likely it will be seen. And it is also a reality check for some. It's just the case. A reality check might be, why are people not looking at my photos? And that does not necessarily mean your photos are bad. It could also mean that people just can't find your photos. And then that's a problem in itself. If your goal is the sharing itself, then any place to share your photos is great, as long as you make it easy, as long as you make it easy to reach without hurdles. And in today's world, even two additional taps or clicks on a link might be too much. So the way to your photos needs to be as simple as possible. But the question is, the big question that everyone needs to ask themselves is, what is my goal? Is it the sharing itself? Is it attention? Is it feedback on my photos? Is it likes? Or is it even recommendations? Do I want my photos to be recommended to others by the people? Now, if it's only sharing, again, any place is fine as long as it's easy to reach. I think that's really the key. But the moment you care about how many people see your photos, then that moment you are in competition with millions of other photographers out there who want the same. So that makes it not that much easier. One of the most important currencies in today's economy is attention. We live in an attention economy. The time people spend giving you attention. And advertising platforms or web tracking platforms used to, in the good old days, they used to count hits and then they counted views and then they counted visits. And now it's mostly about the time, the attention. How long do people spend with your content? And of course, attention is not free. There's a lot of people who want your attention. But then there is, of course, you might get free attention from your family, your friends, your peers. So there is a built-in thing because they know you and that's maybe why they want to give you the attention. But the moment you want attention from strangers, from people who are not in your circles, well, you'll first have to make sure that these people, these strangers, get to see your photos in the first place. If they don't, then yeah, they can't even react to them. So that's where I think I want to call it a funnel, where building a funnel comes in, a way to get people to see your pictures in the form of links, in the form of, well, whichever way works for you. And that could be links on the relevant platforms that you're on, like on your Twitter bio and in Facebook and so on. But of course, this also requires that you have content that is interesting to those strangers. If they're not interested in what you have to offer, they will not look at your photos. So it might be helpful to combine that. What is on your photos and who do you want to reach with that? And sharing and attention. But now let's go one step beyond that. How about you want feedback on your photos? Feedback is more valuable than just attention, because feedback means someone has given you attention already and they have looked at your photography and now they have to put additional effort in it. They have to, whatever, go to some form, type in text, step. They have to think about what they want to type. That is not free. That takes time. That is more than attention. Now there is, of course, the simple form of feedback. It's called a like. That's a clicking a thumbs up or a heart icon. That is easy. That does not cost anything, almost. That's a simple click with a mouse. People can easily do that. So that isn't really valuable. But if someone types a message, if someone types, hey, love the photo, great how you composed that tree, that is effort. That is worth a lot more than just the attention. Or next step is someone recommends you to others. That is really good. Someone goes out and someone looks at your photos and someone has the urge to tell others about your photography. So if attention and feedback and maybe even recommendations are your goal, then of course you'll have to ask yourself the next question. Why would someone want to do that? Why would someone want to give feedback on my photos? Why would someone want to recommend my photos to someone else? And I ask myself that with some of my photos, because I have taken a good share of photos that I don't think are really that good. And most of those I recognize and then I don't post them, but some slip through and then afterwards I wonder why they're not getting any feedback or any clicks whatsoever. So the question is, are they that good? Are they that unique? Or probably even more important, are they that relevant to your audience? And if you take pictures of puppies and you show them to people who are into cats, then that's probably a problem. If they're dogs and you take pictures of dogs and the cat people don't like them. I mean, that's a simple example, but relevance of photos, that's a very important thing. If you show pictures to people that are not interested in what is on the photos, then hey, that's probably a given that they won't react to those. Now, those are all valid questions. And everyone who wants to play in the attention economy will have to ask themselves those exact questions. Now, of course, this is a bit abstract. This is hard to wrap your mind around initially. So here's an exercise, and everyone can do that. Next time you have the impulse to give feedback to someone else's photography, if you see a photo and your finger gets twitchy and clicks on the mouse into that feedback box, that's when you need to stop and ask yourself, what's the exact reason why I've just clicked there and wanted to write a few words? And if you send out a tweet recommending someone else's photos, again, you have to ask, in that moment, you have to ask yourself, why do I want other people to see those photos? What triggered me? What's the impulse? Understanding motivation might be the key to your questions. Now, you've asked about platforms and which ones to use in the future. In general, I mean, platforms have good and bad sides. The good side is that they focus attention, because a lot of people go there with a similar intention. So that takes care of some of the funnel building for you. It makes it easier for people to find your photography. And there will be more people who want photography at all. If there are people who want to buy motorbikes, then they are not going to go to the photography site unless it's about motorbike photography. But the platforms are funnels pretty much. But you give up a bit of independence there, and terms of service, of course, are a bit of a problem sometimes, especially when it comes to the rights of your images. So the safest bet is your own website, of course. But back to the beginning of your question, where you said you deleted everything from Flickr. Now, I'm not sure why you did that. I mean, you elaborated on that and you said that Flickr is over and it's been bought by someone else and they had this password issue. And at this point, Flickr is still here. It is still in existence and it still has people using it. And yes, they did have a password breach, but so has pretty much everyone else. For me, today, in today's world, that is not a reason for me to leave a platform, especially as I use a password manager, and I'm pretty sure you do too, and you have a separate password for every site and every platform. So the potential damage isn't that big. And being on a platform and establishing yourself on that platform, that kind of goes back to the last episode, to 804. That is an investment. You accrue status and visibility on platforms by being active there, by posting there over time, over the years sometimes. And the longer you're there, the more attention you'll get, because the more you're there, the more your status goes up. So throwing that all away means you will have to go through that through the ropes again on the next platform, whichever that platform might be. I personally still use Flickr, have a lot of photos on Flickr. I also have my own personal sharing sites on chrismarquardt.com. But in the end, I won't be able to make a recommendation which photo platform you should move to. And that's also because, you know, I don't know what your goals are. Is it only the sharing? Is it the attention? Is it the likes or the feedback or even recommendations? Or is it a mixture of those? And maybe once you have that answer figured out for yourself, that's when it makes sense to start looking for a public home for your photos. All right, it's that time again where I ask you about, well, now no sponsor on this episode. This is sponsor free. No, this is where I ask you for your voicemails. This is where I ask you for your thoughts, your questions, and you can record them on your smartphone on the voice recording app of your choice and just send them to voice@tfttf.com. In a tiny little email, voice@tfttf.com is the best place to send them, and then I'll get them on the show and I answer them if I can, or I do the research if that is something that is necessary. So send your questions, your feedback, your anecdotes to voice@tfttf.com. I want to hear from you. Oh, and also, big thank you to those of you who have started supporting Tips from the Top Floor on the LibraPay platform, which is, for many reasons, the best platform to support the show. It caters to regular donations, your choice, how much, how frequent. So you have full control over that. And it is the one with the lowest fees. And it just, yeah, it's a good open source project that deserves the support. And it is a good platform for you to support the creators you like. So go to librapay.com/Chris Marquardt. I will link that in the show notes and check it out. Maybe that's something that you like a bit better than some of the other platforms that take a whole lot of fees. Well, anyway, if you want to support Tips from the Top Floor, there are plenty of different ways to do it. Go to tfttf.com/support, tfttf.com/support.
Hi, Chris. My name is Tom Jacob. I'm a lawyer in Austin, Texas, and I also host a politics podcast, Everything We Know About the American Heartland. My question for you is about sharpness. First, what is your workflow when it comes to sharpening your own photos? And second, I know Lightroom and other programs allow you to sharpen for print versus screen on export. Do you think for a hobbyist photographer like myself, that's enough? Or do you have other suggestions to include in my workflow for sharpening my own photos? Thanks.
Thank you, Tom. Here's a dirty little secret. I don't sharpen most of my photos. And I know a lot of photographers that don't sharpen their photos, and here's why. First of all, sharpness is very, very relative. It's also kind of dangerous sometimes because it's easy to overdo it and, well, do something to the picture that the picture doesn't like. And of course, there are makers of tools who want you to buy their sharpening software of the day. So they will give you plenty of reasons for why you have to sharpen your photos. Now, let me try to break it down. Sharpness in a photo is very relative. It has to do with, I don't know, the amount of pixels. The more pixels, the sharper. It has to do with the size of the reproduction. Just imagine it being on a small smartphone screen or on a big 10-foot size canvas. That's a big difference in sharpness. It has to do with light. And I'm not just talking about the light during taking the photo, but also during the presentation. And it has to do with the viewing distance. A billboard size billboard at the side of a highway will need significantly less resolution than a photo on your 5K IMAX screen at full screen size. Sharpness is relative, and a lot of factors play into that. One factor is your camera and its resolution. If you shoot, let's say you shoot 8 megapixels and you blow that photo up to 3 feet in size, it will be less sharp than if you took the same photo at 40 megapixels and then also blew this up to 3 feet in size. Your camera will also do something that is called aliasing or anti-aliasing. Most digital cameras do that. It's adding kind of a tiny amount of unsharpness to avoid what's called moiré patterns. And that is a bit of unsharpness, a tiny little bit that some people like to take out by sharpening. But what is sharpening? Sharpening, the only real way to sharpen a photo, to properly sharpen a photo, would be to add more pixels. Remember, the 8 megapixel images versus the 40 megapixel ones, adding more information will make pictures sharper. But if you don't want to use some fancy experimental machine learning algorithms that actually can add detail to photos, you're probably down to the sharpening functions of your Photos app, your Affinity Photos, Lightroom, Photoshop, and so on. Or you might have bought some fancy sharpening plugin to do the work for you. That's your options. And I guess you have different sharpening algorithms sometimes. In Photoshop, for example, you can choose between different ones. But what these algorithms cannot add is information. They cannot add information to your photos. They cannot magically add pixels. They only have the base material. The only thing they can do is trick your eyes into thinking, into believing that there is more sharpness in the photo. And the way they do that is by increasing contrast at the edges of things. Edges in the photo are how we perceive sharpness. And if those edges are a little bit more contrasty, then our eyes will interpret that as sharpness. Yep, that's how this works. So how our brain works is really funny sometimes. And contrast equals sharpness for our eyes. So now what happens if you put your photo on a screen? Well, the computer screen in front of you, the one that you're possibly looking at right now, there's sharpening built into most LCD screens. Yep. What happens if you print a photo? Well, there's a printer driver that the photo goes through, and guess what? The printer driver knows the printer. It knows where the nozzles are, and it knows how to get the sharpest possible photo out, so the printer driver will do some sharpening as well. You can optimize the photo for the output medium. Yes, you can, but if you apply your own sharpening to the photo, it might look good to you, but chances are it won't look good on another screen because that might have different sharpening settings, or it might not look good printed because, or at least not as good as it could printed because you don't really know what the printer driver is going to do in terms of sharpening. So a bit of that is always guesswork. And then last but not least, sharpness, or rather the perceived sharpness, is also a function of the light in your photo. the direction of the light in your photos and the size of the light source play a crucial role in how sharp the photo will be perceived later by the viewer. I get the questions a lot. People asking me, how do you get your photos so sharp? And those photos are not sharpened. They are not. And some of them are not even taken with amazingly good cameras. There's a method for you to kind of get a better idea about how the sharpening works or how a sharp looking photo works. And that is by experimenting and playing with light. And one of the experiments that, or one of the exercises that I tell people all the time, and it's a very old photographer's exercise, but it's always a good one, is to play with a hard-boiled egg, the hard-boiled egg method. Yep, you take a hard-boiled egg, you get a desk lamp that you can easily move around, and then you darken the room and light the egg from different sides while taking photos. Like light it from the front, from above, from the side, from behind, from above and behind, from the right and behind, and so on. Try different distances from the egg as well with the light source, because the further away from the egg, the darker, but also the smaller in relation to the egg, the light source gets. Try to get the light really close, and try to increase the size of the light source by diffusing it. You can just put a sheet of tissue paper in front of it, and then we'll make a nice diffuser. And see what that does to your photos. And you will find that some light conditions will produce much sharper looking images than others. So, back to your question. I don't have a sharpening workflow. I only sharpen maybe 0.5% of my photos. And when I do it as the last step in the process. All right, that was it for this episode of Tips from the Top Floor. Send your questions for the show to voice@tfttf.com. And if you want to join the other listeners who already support Tips from the Top Floor, go to tfttf.com/support. Music for the show by Jeff Smith, Silent Partner, Hans Peter Kagrud Publishing, and Slack Challenges by Release Pixie, Matt Rapsitar Armstead, Slack Invitations by Chief Invitation Officer, CIO Russ. And as always, my name is Chris Marquardt. Follow me on Facebook and on Twitter at Chris Marquardt, Chris MarquardT. And of course, go out and take amazing photos. Be nice to each other and happy shooting.